A second. Okay, we're on page 34A, Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, approximately 8 or 9, about 10 lines from the top, 11 lines to be specific, or 12 to be exact. We're moving on to the next topic of the Mishnah. We already started it last week, but the idea that women are freed from mitzvah saseh shahazman groma. And last week we discussed that although it said it's a rule that they're free from all mitzvahs asei shazman grama, but we did say there were certain mitzvahs that they were obliged anyway, such as matzah, simcha an yontav, and hakel, coming every 7 years to the Beis HaMikdash to hear the king read from the Torah. Those happen to be three time-bound mitzvahs that, not like the rule, that women are obliged to do. Okay, and even though we said that positive mitzvahs that are not time-bound, there are some that they're free from. Anyway, what we're looking for now, let's just make it bigger now. Okay, this is the topic of mitzvahs asei shazman grama noshim peturus. Women are exempt from positive commandments that time causes. The simple question is, minolan, what is the source to this halacha? What is the source that women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs? So what the Gemara is going to say is there is something what's called a mamatzinu. Mamatzinu is that which we find in one case. Sometimes the Torah will say one specific law, and that will have application across the board, as we will see. So Gemara answers, Gomar, we learn it from Tfilin. From Tfilin, here we have the notes over here, so it's good to see. So one of the ways of learning out from the Torah is called Ma Matsinu. Ma Matsinu, literally it means, what do we find? You still haven't, you got it there? You okay? What we find, which is similarly, what the Talmud calls it, a Binyan Av. Those are the terms called a Binyan Av. What does it really mean? Just as we find a particular law in one case, over here it's going to be the law that women are exempt in the case of tefillin, so should that law apply in all cases that are similar to tefillin, meaning in all mitzvahs like tefillin that are time-bound. In other words, if you find one prima facie example of this rule in the Torah, we could say, just like you find in this case, so you find everywhere else. So we're going to say, we see by tefillin, we're going to explain shortly, that tefillin, the Torah says women are exempt. And tefillin is a time-bound mitzvah. So just like ma matzinu, just like we find by tefillin that it's a time-bound mitzvah that women are exempt, so to all other mitzvahs that are time-bound, women are exempt from. And that's how we're going to learn it. And this is how the Gemara goes on. Ma tefillin, just as tefillin, noshim pituros, women are exempt from wearing tefillin, which is a time-bound mitzvah. Af kol mitzvahs asei shazman grama, so it is with any other time-bound mitzvah that noshim pituros, that women are exempt. Okay? Gemara is going to ask questions on this, as we will see. But that's the general idea. Now, of course, there's the obvious question. As we elaborated in the last sugya, even though we're saying there's a rule, we see that there are exceptions to the rule. There are exceptions, matzah and others. So why don't we learn from those exceptions, let's say matzah, that is the rule and not the exception to the rule. The Gemara's going to discuss that later. But right now, the Gemara is just saying, we find by tefillin they're exempt. It's a time-bound mitzvah, so too they're exempt from other mitzvahs. But now we first have to say, where do you see by tefillin that women don't have to do the mitzvah? Let's go right to the root. So women don't put on tefillin, they're exempt. How do we know that? That's the next question of the Gemara. Tefillin, how do we know that women don't have to put tefillin? Gamar la, we learned that, metal matora, from the fact that they're exempt from Torah study. Okay, so now to appreciate that, we have to take a look at a piece in the Torah over here. Sefer Dvarim, Perek Vav, Halacha Zayin. Nope, not that. Dvarim Vav Zayin by the Shema. Okay, so it says in verse 7, Vishinantam Levanecha, you will teach Torah to your sons. Vidibartam, you'll speak of them, etc., etc. So clearly we see, here's, and we already learned this before, that only sons are obliged to learn Torah. We see Talmud Torah, the study of Torah, is a man's mitzvah. Vishinantam Levanecha, you teach it to your sons. So that's clear. Now what's the very next pasuk? Ches. Ukeshartam laos al yadecha, and you will bind them for a sign upon your hand. Vayula totafos beinecha, and as totafos between your eyes. That's the mitzvah of tefillin. So we've connected. There's something called smuchim. Smuchim means you have one mitzvah right next to another mitzvah. The fact that the Torah will juxtapose two mitzvahs would seem to indicate that there is a similarity between those two mitzvahs. So just like we find by the study of Torah, that although it has nothing to do with the time-bound mitzvah at all, women are exempted from the study of Torah, and the very next mitzvah that's next to it is the mitzvah of tefillin. So just like the study of Torah, women are exempt, so to the mitzvah of tefillin, women are exempt, and tefillin is a mitzvah, sasesha, asman, gram is a time-bound mitzvah. So just like they're exempt from that, then for all other mitzvahs, women are exempt that are time-bound mitzvah. So it's a three-step process. We start with the fact that women do not have to study Torah. Clear. That's clear. It says, Shinantom Levanecha, you'll teach it diligently to your sons. You know, that's the English translation. You can do this with it as you wish. Okay? Banecha is your sons. So we see that the women are exempted from Torah study. The next pasuk, that's samuch, that's next to it, is tefillin. Alright? So the Gemara will say, just like you don't have to, women clearly aren't obliged in learning Torah, so to the next mitzvah they're not obliged, which is tefillin. And tefillin is a time-bound mitzvah, and therefore we learn from tefillin that all other time-bound mitzvahs, women are exempt. That's the simple way of understanding the drasha. Now we're gonna see it inside. Utfilin gamerlemi Talmud Torah. We learn tefillin from Talmud Torah, which is Ma Talmud Torah, just like studying of Torah. Nashim Pituros, women are exempt. As the notes say, you shall teach your sons to the exclusion of your daughters. So what's the mitzvah that's samuch to that, that's right next to it? Av tefillin, which is the next pasuk, Nashim Pituros, women are exempt. It is a time-bound mitzvah, and since it's a time-bound mitzvah, that we make all others like that. Now, you may have asked, as the commentator notes, why don't we learn that the fact they're putter from mitzvahs is they're exempt from time-bound mitzvahs? The answer is Torah is not a time-bound mitzvah. You're supposed to learn Torah all the time. You're supposed to always learn Torah. It's not only a certain time. You're supposed to learn Torah every minute of your life. And if you're not, it's only because you have to go away from it because of emergency. Like, you have to work. Okay? It's not that we do everything in our life, and a half an hour a day we learn. You learn your whole life. If you have to get away from it, you have to have a leniency to get away from it. But it's not a time-bound mitzvah at all. As a matter of fact, it says, you shall toil in the Torah day and night. So you have to learn. So we can't learn time-bound mitzvahs from Torah itself. We only can learn that women are exempted from the mitzvah of Torah. Tefillin is next to that mitzvah, so we connect that they're exempted, and therefore they're exempted from all time-bound mitzvahs.
All right. Exemption does not mean prohibition.
We will get there later. Okay, we'll talk about that later. Okay. So you want to say, what if they want to do it? Exactly. Okay, we'll have to look at other sources that show us that women are not supposed to do it. Okay. Not only they're exempt, they're not supposed to.
Okay.
I know it's making the headlines.
Why did they make it firmer than that? Say they're absolutely not supposed to.
Because, no, you'll see. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
We'll talk about it. There are things, we're not going to say, the things that There are things that are, if you do it, it's a sin. Then there's other things, you know, let me say like this. Let's say a person is very fat. So the doctor may say, I command you to lose weight. You have no exemption. Because if you don't, you're going to die from a heart attack. I'm commanding you to lose weight. Okay? They have another fellow who has perfect weight. So he turns to the second guy and says, and you're exempt from that commandment. Guys, I want to do it anyway. Well, then you're stupid. Because your ideal weight, not a pound high, not a, your perfect weight. So I want to lose, so the other guy lost weight, I want to lose weight. Because you're being foolish. You're working on something that isn't going to help you. Right? God makes a lot of, I'm going to lose another 10 pounds. What do you need to lose another 10 pounds for? That's not what you need to focus on, mister, is,
maintenance.
No, let's say not maintenance. Let's say you have another issue. Let's say your sugar levels are high. So it's not how much weight, but how much sugar you have. Whatever, face. Your sickness is your heart isn't so good. You have to exercise. Guy says, no, I don't want to spend time exercising. I want to spend time losing weight. So you're shaita. I already told you what you have to do. You're exempt from losing weight because you're not fat. But you need to exercise because you have a weak heart. The guy says, I don't care what you say. I want to lose weight. So now what's he doing? He's doing something that's ridiculous. God says women are exempt from tefillin. Putting on tefillin is not going to make you a more spiritual woman. It won't make you a more spiritual person. A man has certain deficiencies that tefillin corrects. A woman does not. Women have other things they should work on. Right? When you're a total expert at everything else, and you're perfect at everything a woman has to know, you know, then we can start talking about other things. Right? So when you're exempt, like, why are you bothering to do it? Right? And there's other things as well. Okay. But clearly, they are exempt. Exempt, and the simple meaning is you're not obligated. Technically, if you want to, you can, but we'll need to look at other Gemaras that will tell us not to do that. Same thing with the Gemara says. Women are exempt from Talmud Torah. That means they could. Then there's another Gemara that says anyone who teaches his daughter Gemara is teaching his daughter immorality. So Gemara is saying you shouldn't teach girls Gemara. All right? And there's modern Orthodox high schools where they teach girls Gemara. You have to understand where that's coming from. It's coming from people of women's lib. They want me just like men. And that's the problem. God has categorically said women and men are not the same. That's where women want to put on tefillin. Because they just want to continue their women's liberation concepts. And they want to be just like men. And the Torah says women are not like men and men are not like women. And that's the way it has to be for it to be a good system. So now you're putting on tefillin why? Why? Because you want to be just like a man? Well, that is against the Torah. That's the point. That's what they don't get. Anyway, so let's go back to that source in the Chumash. Now we're going to ask a very interesting question. Let's look again. Now, verses 7. 7 was the mitzvah of Torah study. Alright? V'shinanta mulanecha, you teach it to your sons. Let's skip 8 for a minute. Let's go to 9. What's 9? That's the mitzvah of mezuzah. All right. Now, mezuzah. Are women obliged to have a mezuzah in their house?
Yes.
Why? It's not a time-bound mitzvah. They're obliged. So let's look now. Verse 7 is the mitzvah of Talmud, of study of Torah, that women are excluded from. Verse 7 is the mitzvah of Torah, where women are excluded from, exempt. Verse 9 is the mitzvah of mezuzah, that women are obliged. Now, in between that is the mitzvah of tefillin. So what did we say? Well, women are exempt from tefillin because it's right next to Pasuk 7. That's where women are exempted from studying Torah. So I guess they're also exempted from tefillin. But wait a minute. Why don't we look the other way? Verse 9 is mezuzah that women are obliged. So let's say just like women are obliged in mezuzah, so too in ches, they're obliged to have tefillin. Why are you connecting 7 to 8? Or rather, 8 to 7. To say they're exempt, connect 8 to 9 to say they're obliged. Both 7 and 9 are non-time-bound mitzvahs. Yet one, women are obliged, and one, they aren't. So ches is in the middle. So we're saying, well, we go with what it's next to, but if you go the other way, the next way, we made the obliged. So why don't we go that way?
Yeah.
That is going to be the Gemara's next question. Gemara asks, v'nokish tefillin mezuzah. So let's compare tefillin to mezuzah, which is the next mitzvah. Okay, that is the Gemara's question. All right, that's all what I said in the notes. Okay.
The woman can apply the mezuzah to the doorpost themselves?
Sure they could.
They could. Okay.
If a woman lives alone in her house, she has to put the mezuzah up. She makes the bracha. She does everything. I mean, she can ask somebody to do it for her, but she's obliged. Apps, 100%. 100%. So Gemara's answer is going to be based on the next place in the Torah where we have, there's another place where we have the mitzvah of tefillin and the mitzvah of studying Torah. You know where the other place in the Torah is?
Can I ask you a question for a second?
Yeah.
So if a man and woman are living together in a house, so is it really the man who's obliged or is it either one who's obliged?
They're both obliged. They both live there. They both have obligation. Usually what happens is you have the husband do those mitzvahs, but doesn't mean that they can't do it.
Because it's a bit of a physical thing. Do you let the man do it?
Okay. Now, let's go to another pasuk now for the answer. Let's go a few chapters onwards. And you're going to find again the second chapter of the Shema. The second chapter of the Shema. And let's look at verse 18. Therefore shall you lay up these my words on your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand that they may be frontless between your eyes. That's tefillin again.
Yeah.
Next one, 19. V'limatam asam es b'nechem. You shall teach it to your sons. That's the study of Torah. Now, you have 18 is study of tefillin. 19 is Torah. Chav, 20 is mezuzahs. Now in this one, which one is tefillin next to?
Tefillin is next to mezuzah.
In this one here? Where's tefillin? Which pasuk?
Oh, no, I see 18 and 20.
Tefillin is an 18.
Okay.
And the one before is an insignificant one. It's just curses and blessings, so there's no mitzvahs before.
Okay, all right.
So you have the order is tefillin, Torah, and then mezuzah. So now, which one is tefillin next to?
The Torah.
Yeah. So we can only compare it to Torah.
Yeah.
In the other section, tefillin was in between Torah, was next to Torah and next to mezuzah.
Yeah.
But in the next section, tefillin is only next to Torah. So since tefillin is next to Torah in both places, that's the one we have to connect it to. If you only had the other verse, the section of the Torah, then it's a good question. But you have it in two sections. And in both sections, all three mitzvahs are placed. But the only two that are always connected, the only one that tefillin is connected to on both fronts is the study of Torah. Therefore, we'll choose to connect tefillin to the study of Torah versus mezuzah, which is only connected to one time. And that's what the Gemara is going to say. We're going to connect tefillin to Torah Matara. Why? Because it's connected twice. Bein b'parsha Rishona, both in the first section in the Torah of the Shema. Bein b'parsha Shni, also in the second section of the Torah of the Shema. However, that's tefillin to Torah. But tefillin l'mezuzah b'parsha Shni alo iskish. Tefillin is not connected to it in the second one. Okay? So therefore, that's out. So therefore, tefillin is more strongly linked to Torah study. And since women are exempt from Torah study, therefore they're exempt from tefillin. So we're back to our original answer. We connect it to tefillin. We connect it to Torah study. And why? Because it's twice connected to Torah study. So just like Torah study, they're exempt from tefillin as well. Okay. So now that we've done that, comes the next question now. Well, what did we say? Women are obliged in a mezuzah, right? But now, is not mezuzah connected to Torah study?
Yeah.
Right? Is it not also connected to Torah study?
Yes.
It's connected where? In which section? In the which one? In the second one. In the second one, it's directly connected. Because
right.
you have tefillin, Torah study, and mezuzah.
Yeah.
So just like we said that tefillin is connected to Torah study, so now the Gemara says, well, if we're going this approach of what's it connected to, so v'nakish mezuzah talmud Torah. So let's connect mezuzah to the study of Torah and exempt women from putting up mezuzahs. Because in the second paragraph, Torah study and mezuzah are connected. Right? We already know women are exempt from Torah study, so let them be exempt from mezuzah. And we know that's not true. Mm-hmm. So if that's not true, maybe we don't make any of these connections. Morris says, no, connections we normally make, except where it's not sensible to not make the connection. How is that? Where it says, lo salka daifa, no, don't let that enter your mind to make women exempt from a mezuzah. Why? Because let's look at the pasuk after mezuzah. 20th verse is, and you shall write it as mezuzahs on your doorposts. Why? Look at verse 21. Laman yirbu yameichem v'yamei v'neichem ala adamosh en nishbar sham lavaseichem. So that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children multiplied in the land of Israel. Look at the benefit of putting tefillin on your doors. You put tefillin on your doors, you're going to live a long time in the land of Israel. Now, is that the idea? Would you want to exempt women from living a long time? You know, as much as we'd like, as much as we could exempt them from it being next to a mitzvah that's exempted to, but wouldn't exempt a woman from a mitzvah that extends your life? So that one wouldn't be fair. And that's why that will override, by mezuzah, that will override that. And that's what the Gemara answers. Dichsiv, as the Pasuk says, right after the mitzvah of mezuzah, l'man yirbu yameichem, so that their lives will be extended. The Gemara is going to ask, so gavre boichai, do you mean to say, based on your question, that men only need prolonged lives, and nashi lo boichai, and women don't need extended lives? That's preposterous. So therefore, we're not going to exclude women from the mitzvah of mezuzah, since it carries with it long life. Okay, so very good. So what are we up to right now? We now know why women are not obliged in time-bound mitzvahs. Because since women are not obliged in Torah study, and tefillin twice is connected to Torah study, and therefore we'll say women are exempt from tefillin, we're not going to learn it from mezuzah. They're only connected once to mezuzah, not twice. Mezuzah, we don't learn from the study of Torah because we don't want women not to live long, because that comes from mezuzah, teaches us that as well. Okay, so now the Gemara, once we have the Gemara, now says, okay, let's look at all the other mitzvahs that seem to violate the rule, and we ask the question. For example, let's see. Varei sukkah. Let's go to sukkah now. How do you know a woman is not obliged to be in a sukkah? Well, the simple answer you'd say is, well, sukkah is a mitzvah sasei shasman grama. It's a time-bound mitzvah that you only can do it for 7 days. Okay. So if we're going to say, right, that women are exempt from every time-bound positive commandment, right, but sukkah, the mitzvahs, aseishas on grama, it's a time-bound mitzvah. How do you know it's a time-bound mitzvah? Dichsiv, it says, basukos teishvu shivas yomim. You will live in your sukkah 7 days. But, if you look at it, even though it's a mitzvah, how do we know women are exempt not from this rule, but from another explicit word in the Torah? Taima dichsiv, because the Torah writes, when it talks of the mitzvah of sukkah, it says the mitzvah is for ha-ezroch. Ha-ezroch means natives, citizens. The word ezrach means a citizen. Now, look what it says here. In the previously quoted verse, it says, Basukos teishfu shivas yomim. In a sukkah you will dwell 7 days. Call ha'ezrach, every citizen, be Yisrael of the Jews, Yeshua sukkah, shall dwell in sukkahs. Okay, now, what does the Gemara do with that word? Every native will live in it. So the Gemara says the following drush, it's a brisa, rather. Lahotzi es anashim. That word, ha'ezrach, the citizen, the brisa says, that's how we know that women are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. Let's see how.
They are exempt or they're not?
Exempt.
Yeah.
Exempt. Do women have to be in a sukkah? No. A brisa in sukkah understands that had the letter hey not been appended to the word ezrach, it could have said kol ezrach, every citizen. Why does it say kol ha ezrach? Literally means all the citizen. All native Jews. Had it said just ezrach, that would have been men and women alike. The addition of the letter hey indicates, however, a particular, more prominent group of natives. Ha ezrach, the specific natives. And who's the more specific ones? Males. Thus restricting the purview of the midst of that group. The Brisa says, because it says the word ha-ezrach, that is what excludes women. Doesn't seem because it's a time-bound mitzvah. Doesn't seem because of a time-bound. Now, if you're going to tell me that women are exempt from all other time-bound mitzvahs, why did the Brisa have to come on to the drush of ha-ezrach? Gemara now says, halavachi, without that drasha, nashim chayavas, women would be obliged. It would appear from that drasha they'd be obliged. But we just said they're free from all time-bound mitzvahs. If we say women are free from all time-bound mitzvahs, so why, and the fact that they're exempt from sukkah, from the brisa, it's not because it's a time-bound mitzvah. They exempt it because of this specific drasha of ha-ezrach, which excludes women. Why do we need the drasha of ha-ezrach? Let's just say it's a time-bound mitzvah, they're excluded.
Right.
So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaye, because he said, Yitzchak, no, we need this pasuk, because just because it's a time-bound mitzvah, we would not have excluded women. Why? Sal kadai techamina, I would have thought, if you only want to go with the fact that it's a time by mitzvah, there'd be somebody that would override that and make them obliged. Why? Ho il dichsiv, since it writes, basukos teishvu, you shall dwell in sukkos. Means like what? What does it mean you shall dwell? Tashuvu. Doesn't say other words. It says tashuvu. Well, there's a golden rule by sukkah. Tashuvu ke'ein taduru. Your dwelling has to be the way you live in your normal house. In other words, the Torah is saying you have to live in your sukkah just like you live in your house. Okay, gentlemen, you live in your house, yeah? Does your wife live in the house with you?
Yes.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now, if living in the sukkah has to be just like in the house, then what would have to be?
You have to have everything.
Yeah. You have to have everything. Just like you have everything in your house, you have your wife in your house.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It's also saying a man lives in one house and the wife is outside. So the rule is a man must live in his sukkah just like he lives in his house. Well, how does a man live in his house? Madira ishvish. So just like a man lives in his house, a man with a woman. So I would have thought, af sukkah ish v'ishtal, so to a sukkah, a man with his wife must dwell together. So that would override, yes, it's a mitzvah, let's say, shvatzman grumav, but that's not enough to exclude her because the whole point of the mitzvah is you have to be exactly like at home. Therefore, the Torah needs an extra drush of ha-ezrach to say, even though you have to be like at home, but women are excluded from it. That's the answer of Abaye. Let's just do one more answer to finish up this question. For Rava gives a different reason why we need ha-ezrach. For Rav Amar, another reason why we needed this Hezrach, even though it is a mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, going up to the top of the next page, 34b. Rav says, Ezrach, we need the word ha-ezrach. Oopa, there we go again. Because I would have thought a different reason. The Torah says, twice. It says, on the 15th day of Nisan, you shall eat matzah. On the 15th day, you shall live in a sukkah. Now the fact that it says on the 15th in both places, it means there's a comparison between those two mitzvahs. And what is that? Just like on the 15th, a woman must eat matzah, she must eat the mitzvah of the night. So we also would say, and we have in many halachas, for example, a man has to eat matzah the 15th, he has to be on a sukkah the 15th, even if it's raining, he gotta be there. That's why the first night's a very difficult night. We compare Pesach and Sukkot. So I would have thought let's compare it for women as well. Just like women have to eat matzah the 15th, I think they have to be in the Sukkah on the 15th, even though it's a mitzvah sasei zman grama. Salkatay, I mean, I might have thought, Nalef will make, why is it not giving me the English? Oh. Nalef, let's learn Chamisha Sor. Let's learn out. It says the 15th by matzahs. It says the 15th by sukkahs, and we make the following drasha. It's just like over there by Pesach. Women have to do the mitzvahs of Pesach, that's for sure. So Afkan, I think, Nashim Chayavis, women are obliged also in the mitzvah of sukkah. So Shri, I have the word Ha'ezrach, that says only men and not women. So both Abai and Rava say that we need the pasuk of Ezrach, because there's two separate reasons why, even though it's a time by mitzvah, I think a woman is still obliged. Either because you have to live in your sukkah like you live in your home, and you have to live with your wife, or we compare sukkah to Pesach, that just like women are obliged in Pesach, I think they're also obliged in sukkahs, comes Ha'ezrach to say, no, a particular group, only men. Okay, so far what do we learn? We learned the source of why women are exempt from all time-bound mitzvahs. We learned that from tefillin, which is learned from study of Torah, because it's connected twice to the study of Torah. And the mitzvah sukkah, even though it's a time-bound mitzvah, that would not be enough to exempt women, because either they'd have to live with their husbands or it's compared to Pesach. Therefore, we need a specific word of Ha'ezrach to exclude them from that. What the Gemara tomorrow is going to do is going to say, wait a minute, but there's other mitzvahs, asei shasman grama. Well, we're going to ask further questions, why we need certain exemptions, why similar question to sukkah, and then we'll get on to other questions regarding that.